real people. And they fought to take land and territory from these people, you know, in order to, so that they'll know who God really was. These people didn't know who God was. So they had to fight real battles. David fought many battles. And if you just look at David, he fought a whole bunch of battles. He was a king. And he fought battle after battle after battle to show the people that God was the ruler. Not people, but God was the ruler. So God used real soldiers, you know. But we don't have to, like we do today, we use real soldiers to go out and fight wars, you know, and to keep us from getting into wars. We use real soldiers, you know. But back there then, they used real soldiers. God used real soldiers to tell the people who he was and who Jesus was. You know, and they literally destroyed armies and nations to do so. So we don't fight like that today. We fight the good fight of faith. And it's still a battle, just as costly and dangerous as the battles that those people fought back there in those days. And if you don't believe what I'm talking about, look at the thousands of lives that have been lost already. Look at the thousands of people that have gone on into eternity already. You know, we're not in a good place right now, saints of God. We haven't been prepared properly for the battle. You know, it's not about going back into the church, you know, hurrying to get back into the church and start doing the things that we normally would do. And I've seen a lot of churches on TV, and they even have lawsuits that's demanding that they get justice, just like these other businesses and corporations, that they can go back, more than half of their people can come back to church. But saints of God, let's be wise. That's not what we're supposed to do. We have been shown that we allowed Satan to come in here and set up house, killing thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Now, we have to know that we can't go back to the same thing, you know. So what should we do when we go back? We know that we're in a battle, and we're in a fight of faith, you know. And very few of the members of the church know how to fight in this battle. You know, the church is ready to do, we need to be ready to do spiritual battle.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Man Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Family or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all
Alexander
together, this is what we'd like to call you.
Jesus. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your comes to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to have our reader to read for us this morning. I want you to read very closely with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16.
Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In this Christian life and in this Christian walk, I want to share with you in how the believer is to be triumphant in Christ. You know, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference what you believe if you're living a defeated life. Doesn't matter how much you say you go to church, doesn't matter what church you say you go to. If you are living a broke and defeated, a disgusted and a difficult life, insomuch that there seems to be one, no joy, seems to be no peace, seems to be no blessings flowing in your life, seems to be no victory over your enemies, you walk not in authority, you have not what God says is yours, you can't do what God says you can do. My God, I wonder why you even say that you're a believer. I think I do need to say to you, there is a difference between a believer and a church member. Now, that might be the reality of a church member, but that's not the reality of a believer. And so Paul, without going in much detail and without taking this too far out of the space of time that we have, gives us some interesting facts to understand about our ability to conquer, change, and control every condition through the power of Christ. We triumph through Christ. It is in because of our relationship with Jesus Christ that the believer has the ability to accomplish things that the average person, the non-believer, the uncommitted Christian cannot accomplish. And one of the things I want you to pay attention to this morning, because it's not about regular communion service or regular service. It's about you hearing the power that God gives to you and who you are in Christ and what God expects from you so that you can live a more victorious life. Listen, because you represent Christ, you already have the adversary, the enemy, the same one that was against Christ is against you. So you need to recognize you need to be empowered with the power and person of the Holy Spirit. You need to be able to know who you are and whose you are. You need to be able to know what you can speak through your mouth into the atmosphere and to change it and to shift it in the direction of your success versus the enemy's success. Too many of us settle for what the enemy does when we've got the power to change it. And it's time for the believer to wake up and recognize you don't have to live a defeated life. Yes, you're going to go through some troubles. Yes, you're going to go through some trials. Yes, you're going to have headaches and heartaches. And yes, you're going to be tested on every hand. But you've been promised that through it all, you're going to come through victorious. And it is in that same vein that you say, like the psalmist says in Psalm 23 and 4, yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now listen at this, because when you recognize that it doesn't mean because you're saved and you're a saint, you won't go through nothing. Don't get it twisted. Matter of fact, you're going to go through more the closer you get to the Lord. The more you stand up for God, you're going to go through more, but you're also going to come through more. And you're going to come through better and stronger than you were before you went in it. And you become more of an adversary and a challenge to the devil, so much so that you're going to find him doing like he did with Jesus when Jesus came out of the wilderness. You're going to find out that the devil going to start leaving you for a season. Some of you, he don't leave for a second. And others of us, he leave for a season because he gets tired of wrestling with us. He get tired of losing to us. He get tired of us speaking those things that be not as though they were. He get tired of us reminding us of who we are in Christ Jesus. He get tired of us pleading the blood. Y'all not hearing me. He gets tired of us knowing that we are victors and not victims. And so he leaves us and go mess with the others who know how to have good church but ain't got no word in them. They know how to shout and dance and do all this and have a good time but have no power to lead victorious lives. Look at what he says, first part, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God. The first thing I want you to lift out of this verse is the fact that Paul calls on thanksgiving to God, giving thanks to God. Now, thanks be unto God. He begins with thanks unto God because he's setting the atmosphere for God receiving all of the praise and all of the glory for every triumphant reality we experience in this life because of the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. If it weren't for the Lord giving us his son and his son giving us his life, we would have no victory at all. That's why Jesus makes clear in John 15 and 5, in the end of that verse, he says, for without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. And so, my brothers and sisters, what you've got to realize is, if nothing is what you get, and nothing is what you got, then you need to make sure and check yourself to make sure you have Jesus. Because without him, ye can do nothing. In other words, nothing worthwhile, nothing with eternal benefits, nothing that blesses you nor the kingdom of God, nothing that's noteworthy. So the first thing we do, we see is Paul talks about giving thanks to God. But then he moves from giving thanks to God for the reason for that thanks. Listen. Which causeth us always, which causeth always us to be triumphant in Christ. Every time you look around in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, through everything you go through, God is the one who made it possible that you might have the victory of his son. And when you begin to realize this, which causeth us always to triumph in Christ, it's so important that you realize, look again at what this word says, which causeth always, 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 not sometimes, always. If you are not, listen, being the victor in every situation, something's wrong. Now, listen, there used to be a time when we win some and lose some, and we gain some and, you know, some fall away, and we're blessed one day and the other day we're not. No, no, no. But here's what the word says, which causes always us to triumph in Christ. Now, what this simply means is if we will keep our focus right, if we will have our relationship right with Jesus Christ, it is in this power always that we win every battle that we are in, where we use the power of Jesus Christ. You see, when you try to fight a battle on your own, guess what? You may lose. You may win some of it sometime, depending on, you know, what kind of demon comes at you. But for the most part, you lose even with the small demons, you know. But when you use the power of Christ that belongs to the believer that he left for us so that we could be victorious in the little things as well as the great big old things, he wants us to know we need that power, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, functioning and flowing in our lives in every situation, in our walk, in our talk, in our living, in our giving, in every place of our lives. If we use the power of Jesus Christ, we will be victorious. Matter of fact, when you begin to look at all of the things that you've been defeated in, you're going to recognize it's because you did not use the power of the Lord to work through in that situation. You used your own power. You used your own thoughts. You used your own words. You used your own ability, and you lost. But not in Christ. What's interesting is Paul uses his word triumphant, and his reference is to the Greek and the Roman public processionals, the parades that the great generals would be given when they would conquer other great cities and provinces and noteworthy accomplishments and victories over their enemies. And that was a massive parade that was marched down the main street. And they had some of everything in that parade. They had people, they had potentates, they had priests, they had prisoners, they had possessions, and of course, the general and his family. And my brothers and sisters, it was a great spectacle because all of the city would come out to see this great general come down Main Street in his glorious victory with his triumphant conquest behind him, with the slaves that he had brought in, which would be kings and great officials from the countries that he captured, and the gold and the silver and the great possessions and the monuments and all of the significant things that they took from that city that they conquered. This was a massive parade that the entire city would witness in this triumph of this great general. And while he's coming down this main street, listen, when he got before the emperor or the Senate, listen, it was always an honor for him to show them his great military skill by showing what he gained in his conquest. In other words, he was always able to put his money where his mouth was. He was already always able to show what he had accomplished, and so that he was worthy, listen, of all of the praise that the people were giving to him while he rode on his chariot, usually pulled by two or four white horses. And depending on how great it is, some conquerors used elephants to pull the chariot. Some used lions to pull the chariot. However they felt they wanted to display the proudness of their prowess, they would use that to magnify their glory. But that was something interesting about it. Behind every general, while he's slowly going through town, they would have a servant or a slave walking behind him, listen at this, reminding him of his faults, his shortcomings, his mess-ups, and his mistakes, so he wouldn't forget that though you've accomplished all of that, you are not perfect. Are y'all not hearing me yet? I don't care who you are in God, you're going to learn that no matter how God uses you, he never wants you to get so big-headed that you think you are all of that without him. And so when he talks about triumphant, it is in the light of a great celebration of a great victory. And Paul says, we have this in Jesus Christ. Listen, it's important because we give God thanks for the triumph. See, something is wrong with you if you don't give God thanks for what he's brought you through. Something's wrong with you if you don't thank God for the victories he's given to you, that he's won for you, that he's placed in your hand, that he's fought for you and let you claim to. Something's wrong with you if you can't thank God for taking care of you while you were in a battle that you couldn't win, but he won it for you and gave you the victory. That's why we ought to be grateful and thankful to God for every victory in Christ Jesus. And then the third thing, he talks about the truth. The truth. Not only is there thanks, and not only does he talk about triumphant, but he talks about truth. And making manifest, listen, the, what is that S word? The savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now that might not mean much to you because you don't understand what that means. But I'm going to help us this morning. And making manifest, bringing to reality, materializing, bringing into existence. This literally means that it comes from abstract to reality, that it comes into real true life. And he says, and making manifest, listen, the savor. Now this word savor has to do with odor and smell and fragrance. And there's an important reason why he uses this word, because in this word, he says that savor comes because of his knowledge by us in every place. Do you know there is nothing that's sweeter than the word of God to God. And when you speak the word of God, it emits a sweet savor to God. You won't talk to God, talk his word to him. He gets excited when you talk his word to him. He loves to hear when you tell him what he said. He gets excited when you remind him of his promise to you. God loves to hear that you have spent time in his word, and his word abides in you and thus changes your inward thoughts and your inward hearts and your heart and your inward parts, how his word gets on the inside of you and literally creates a sweet savor when you speak his word. Listen, when you speak the word of the Lord, listen, he gets happy and the devil gets mad. This sweet savor comes in the knowledge that he gives you the truth. The truth. You see, that's why it's so important. He says his people perish for a lack of knowledge. You've got to know the word of God in order to be able to conquer and change and control conditions and atmospheres in your own existence. You've got to be able to know the word to encourage yourself, because there are things that happen to us, my brothers and sisters, that nothing and no one but the word is able to encourage our spiritual man. And it isn't until we recognize how powerful this word is and what it does for our spirit man, that until we come into that knowledge that God wants to hear us say his word, speak his word, tell his word, witness his word, that it becomes the sweet savor in his nostril and sound in his ear. And because of that, the next verse says, we are a sweet savor in Christ. To God. To God. Here's what that literally means. That means when we who are born again, born of Christ, born of the Spirit, begin to speak the word of God. Listen, God smiles and he smells the sweetness of his word that was only brought about through the existence of Jesus Christ. That's why if you want to really please God, listen, when you begin to recite the word of God, when you begin to think about God, you've got to think about his son. When you think about his son, you've got to think about the cross that he died on to make it possible for you to have this privilege to be able to enter into the presence of God and be the people of God who are victorious in Christ Jesus. And so that sweet, listen, savor comes in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of all that Jesus has done, of all that Jesus came here to planet Earth to do for us, for me, for you, and for the glory of his Father. And it is all summed up, listen at this, in the cross of Christ. When it's all said and done, listen, that thing that brings death to one brings life to many. And it is a sweet savor every time we mention Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Christ is no longer on the cross, but the cross is a reminder that he was there. And while he was there, he took care of all of the business for mankind that he needed to take care of, and he didn't have to go on it but one time. And when he came off of it, he would never have to go on it again to save another soul, because the payment that he made for our sin debt was complete at the cross.